Oh, that's the sound of a brilliant start to the podcast.
Is that it?
That's how
it's all
start.
It takes?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sean, for delivering.
He paid, I delivered.
45 minutes, beer pouring into a glass.
This week we're hoping to be sponsored by Balejo.
I don't know where you're getting the B.
That's what I've been told.
Vallejo.
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 Well, we'll have to get our good friend Elisa to help us with it, because that doesn't sound right to me at all. And the Argentines, I know she's not Argentinian, but she's spent too much time there. Any double L has a sh sound, according to the Argentinians. It's incorrect. Totally incorrect.
No point did she go shh when correcting me.
That's good. So, that's good. That's close. I think that's correct. So I don't have anything with me.
What did you do?
What have you guys been talking about or thinking about?
I think we should just introduce ourselves and our new first-time podcaster.
Well,
long-time listener, first-time pastor.
I'll hang up and listen to my answer. Am I on the podcast today? I'll hang up and listen to my answer.
Apparently, we're just jumping right in. We are the Worldwide IT Guys, and this is podcast number 41. I am Steve.
I'm Dion.
I'm Ross.
I'm Dan.
This is Sean.
Excellent. We have a full team with a newcomer, Ross. Welcome. Ross has been helping us out of late and spending some time figuring out what the heck it is we do here on the podcast, and probably wishing he never ever heard of us. So that's a good thing. So, what's been going on? Cleveland won? Cleveland won something?
Yep.
That
first
can't
time
be right.
Ever. It was weird. You know, it's funny. I went to go watch the game at a bar, but Jess was sick, so I had to put the kids down. And first of all, I was convinced they were going to lose, because I was like, nothing would be more Cleveland than us pushing the greatest NBA team of all time to 7 games so that we could lose on Father's Day.
I reposted that because I was just like, that's brilliant.
It's just being from Cleveland, that's exactly what we would do. Is we would just so the dagger hurts more, you know?
Uh-huh.
You
every know? Father.
It's like if we get swept by the greatest team in NBA history, like, that's not Cleveland. That's just a loss.
Yeah.
We have to give you enough hope to think.
It's game 7
that everything can
on
be turned
Father's
around.
Day. Yeah. Every dad's got their kids sitting next to them with the dream of this could happen, and then you lose. And that's so, very Cleveland.
So yeah. I was so convinced they were going to lose. I just did. I'm like, everything in the universe points to a loss. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go out, and I'm going to meet some friends anyways. And if nothing else, I'll see the loss with some buddies. And then, as I'm almost about to hang a left to get on the highway to go meet a friend, somebody gets shot on the entrance ramp to the highway, and I get stuck in this traffic.
That's Chicago.
For like a half hour. I'm like, I can't think of a better merger of the town I'm from and the town I live in that I'm going to miss the Cavs lose game 7 because somebody just got shot right in front of me in Chicago.
What an intersection of culture.
Yeah, both cities.
Yeah, right.
Both cities coming together to fuck me.
Literally, someone was shot.
Somebody was shot.
On the entrance ramp.
So I learned this, and I did not know this. Apparently, like 5 blocks from me is this gas station right off 290, and Austin is right there, which is this very violent neighborhood in Chicago. And I guess this gas station has, like, supposedly, this is what the police were claiming, the highest traffic drug sales of, like, any place in America. Because I guess, like, all the drugs come in from the West Coast on 290. This is what the cops claim. I have no idea if it's true. The wholesalers drop it off to somebody at this gas station, and there's, like, a lot of violent crime there because, I don't know.
Huh.
Who knows? But that was the explanation I heard. From, like, it's like a game of telephone, though. You ask the car in front of you, like, what the hell's going on? And, like, by the time it reached me, this is the biggest cocaine.
Oh, so it was not from the cops.
It was not from the cops. It was from somebody who claimed a cop told him that.
Who told the guy,
that told me, you know, so who knows how true any of this is, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, somebody was shot there.
In an Al Pacino voice where he's like, wah!
El Chapo.
El Chapo.
Tunnel ends right here. But it was funny. I was making, it's funny, I was talking to Dion, I was making a couple jokes about just being from Cleveland. I was like, well, let's all wish the Cavs mayoral Department of Victory Parade good luck because they've never been called into action before, and now they have to do a victory parade.
Yeah.
And I just saw from my buddy who's down at the parade, they did not put, so 2.1 million people went to the victory parade, which is basically 100% of the Cleveland metropolitan area.
Yeah.
And they did not put barriers on the streets.
Oh, my
God. So the parade, that never occurred to them. You know, they've never done this before.
Oh, my God.
So the parade couldn't even get through.
Cars will just stop on their own. And genuflect.
It doesn't even look like a victory parade. It looks like a zombie apocalypse. And like the city's just like
LeBron's on a bus stuck in the middle of zombies that are like ready to eat him. Yeah, right.
So, I don't know. But it seems like everybody's in such a good mood. Nobody's complaining, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's, except the players and the coaches. Yeah,
not moving.
Anybody involved with the team, I'm sure, is not happy right now.
They may need to airlift them out of Cleveland.
And that's hilarious.
LeBron announced he's going to come back and defend the title.
Of course. He'll be back until he loses, which is next year, and then he's going to be gone.
With a different team, he's going to come back and defend his title.
We're just going to assume the trophy follows me to wherever I go.
Exactly.
Since I clearly won it,
He's going to be a Laker in the next 4 years.
I don't know.
I'm not so sure.
I don't think he cares.
Or New York. Or New York, because
I don't
heard
think he cares about media markets and that kind of stuff.
The Knicks just got D. Rose. They have Carmelo. He could go to New York and win a championship there be like, I've always predicted that LeBron would be the traveling. He's going to be the guy that wins the most championships with the most different teams.
He might.
That's going to be his record.
Yeah.
That's going to be the thing he sets precedent with. Miami, Cleveland, New York. L.A., he's going to win the most with the most teams. I think that's going to be LeBron's claim to fame. He's only got, like, 3 years left on his body because he's, what, 33?
Well, I don't know. So. I think he could change his game. And
well, the greats
play
do
for
that.
A while, you know?
The greats do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Jordan did when he came back with Washington, you know? I mean, he was a totally different kind of player.
But Washington was completely different. His second three-peat was... He raised his game to the point where his body could take a lot of hits. He could play defense at a different level. He could shoot three at a different level. He understood, like, I'm not going to be able to slam this ball every time I want to score 2 points. So
this is all sports talk with the Worldwide IT guys.
No, we're starting here because it's a big deal.
It was a big deal.
52 years of no championships in any city is a big deal, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
Can we just call it futility?
Yeah.
Call it what it is.
Can we just call it Cleveland?
I remember, I don't know how funny this story, but my dad always liked watching the Browns, but he wasn't fervent about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And
what was he for, like, sports-wise?
He wasn't a huge sport. My dad's a very academic guy, you know? He has, like, you know, a doctorate, 3 master's degrees and everything like that. But anyways, I remember one of the most heartbreaking moments in Cleveland history is the fumble, which is when we were playing the AFC Championship game.
Oh, yeah.
We were on the 1 yard line, about to win it all, go to the Super Bowl, where we would have been slaughtered by the Washington Redskins, but, you know, that notwithstanding. Ernest Biner fumbles on the one, boom. But my dad's like, that's the game. All right, well, let's go out. We got to get a new engine for this model car. Model train. We had a model train. But I remember, like, the streets were totally barren. Like, Cleveland was so into the game that we were the only people out. And I remember, like, if you ever need to buy a specific part, I think the best time to go is during a heartbreaking loss. Because I remember we go there. It's one of the most distinct memories I have as a child is my dad goes, like, how much would it cost to get the engine replaced? And this guy had the Browns game on in the background. And he just goes, I don't know. And he just goes, what's the point of any of this? And my dad's like, $5. He goes, he goes, just take a goddamn engine. Because none of it matters.
None of it matters.
Like, his whole world had been, like, crushed. And he just wasn't prepared to, like, conduct business yet, you know?
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
What a perspective.
And my dad was
though.
Like, oh, man, I got to do more shopping.
Yeah, right.
Like, in this situation. You know? Like,
you found the key.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, man.
Wow. A model train engine?
My dad was very into. I feel a lot of older guys get into this. They get into model trains, you know, like the model. I think they call them O size trains. Mm-hmm. You know, build.
Well, there's different scales.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Different sizes and different scales, but If I get that old, just let me know, okay? Steve, you've hit the model train phase.
Yeah.
I'll just walk away.
Well, you got the, we see you, you landed a boat. That's another, I feel like the white guy old path is you either get a boat, you get into model trains, or you believe in UFOs and conspiracies.
All right, I think I'm happy with my choice, all right?
Yeah, you had the best outcome.
Two out of three. Ordering a UFO, though, so I don't know.
What are you nodding about?
Well, I would really like to get a book, and I am totally into UFO conspiracies.
Oh, okay, so you're already an old guy.
So you're a six-year-old man in a 24-year-old body? Yeah. Yeah, right, okay.
Good.
That explains the white shoes. No, he doesn't have white shoes on.
Oh, man.
So what's going on in Transformation this week? I know that there were some calls that sadly I didn't participate in.
This has been one of my favorite weeks for
Should we focus on the call?
Well, I always judge how Transformation is going by what I overhear with Dion Swimcast.
which is an accurate way to reflect.
Yeah. Normally, it's him getting frustrated and maybe yelling or a lot of sort of rhetorical questions that are have a lot of tone in them. But this week you just had a great, absurd call. I mean, it was almost like a Monty Python sketch. I'll let you explain it.
So I open a ticket, and I basically need an account created so that somebody can do their job in Active Directory. And I'm on the list of approvals, which means when I ask for something or when anybody asks for something, somebody at JBT needs to approve it. I'm on the list of approvers. So when I request something, I assume, because I'm on the approvers list, that means it'll just get done. However, I got a call from IBM saying, could you please approve the ticket that you opened to allow somebody to get admin access in Active Directory.
But you were the opener, the approver when you opened it. So this makes perfect sense.
I opened the ticket. Therefore, by whatever reasoning you want to apply to this, it should have been automatically approved because I said I want this to be done.
But you didn't click approve.
But what was funny is Dion brings up because I could kind of piece together the conversation, and he's like, well, wouldn't I approve anything I open? And rather than the guy saying, I'm sorry, the system doesn't support that.
Right.
It's just part of the workflow. The guy was like, well, how do we know you approve it? He was going the philosophical route, which was hilarious. It was like, well, you've opened it, but
it was
a
very who's on first.
Yeah.
Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know, on third.
So you just heard his side. What were you hearing him say?
He was just going, he was like, why would I not open something if I don't approve of it? He goes, I approve of what I say. Why would I open it if I disapprove of it? And he keeps going this way. And I just I'm just picturing the guy on the other end well, how do we know that? We don't know anything about you. You might be a guy that doesn't trust yourself to open your own tickets, you might have realized you were having a bad day.
Are you still in the same state of mind that you were when you opened this ticket to confirm?
Being of sound state.
Yeah.
And
I'm very different on a day-to-day. Back in high school, I liked ska music, and I don't like that anymore. Who knows what I'll like tomorrow?
Haven't changed in the week.
Can you ever say you're the same person, Ms.
Dion?
So you need to approve it.
So
you used to like Killian's beer, so
I mean, that's true, but in the matter
I approve of this beer.
In the 4 days when I asked for, I need somebody to have admin rights, to the point where I had to put in my own ticket that I asked for, that I approve of my own request in my own ticket with IBM.
It's like those political messages, I am Donald Trump and I approve this message. I am Dion and I approve
and
this
I approve
VPN request.
And I approve this administrative rights access. That is exactly how this went down, and my conversation for about 8 minutes that Sean overheard was the most ridiculous.
You just hear Dion going, I approve it. I said it because I approve it. I only do things I approve. I don't do things I disapprove of. I'm not an asshole. And it was just funny because the guy clearly didn't know how to, there's a million ways to respond to that where I think you could at least get the guy to like sort of be like, oh, you just say, hey, I'm sorry, the tool.
Right,
you
know, right.
You know, it's a restrictive tool. It's the tool. I'm sorry. But he's like, this guy's trying to sell him on, no, this is great. You know.
He actually did say something like, the group that sees this doesn't know who is approving what. So, like, there's one group that says, this is fine, go ahead and do it. And there's another group that goes ahead and does it. And the group that goes ahead and does it doesn't see me approving it. And they're like, but they don't know who's approving this. And I'm like, you should know I'm approving this. Like, I don't understand.
But I think that's fair. I think that's, you know.
I opened a ticket to say do this.
Is it correct? No. But I think it's fair to the point of, hey, the system doesn't do this. You're right, we're screwed, and we should be better at this, but we're not. So just click the button, hit approve, and move on.
Sure. Call and confirm, because you're not sure the state of my being at this time. Yeah. My consciousness approves it. Let's move forward.
It's well, just other, funny to me, though. It does show how myopic they are.
Yes.
That rather
yes.
than say, you know what, I'm sorry, that any normal tech would have been like, I'm sorry, it's a restrictive tool. This guy is so myopic, he doesn't even look at the overall tool. You know,
yep, yep.
He's just like, well,
sort of in parallel with this, we had approval. We were moving forward on a path to get, you know, like all of a team of people running through the same service desk. Okay. And we were all going to be running through the same service desk. So I think we talked about it last week, sort of the one front door that Dion referenced last week.
That's all I've been saying.
We had it, and this just shows how disjointed. It's back to the whole issue of who at IBM knows what's going on, right? So we've got a team of people that are like the freight train's running.
Yeah.
They've set up everything. We're training people. They're talking. They're communicating. Everything's great. The day that we are supposed to light up this new service, we get the phone call where they go, I'm really sorry, but there's no contract in place, and so we can't do this.
Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, everything's set up, and the service desk is processing tickets. It's actually functioning before we said we were going to make it function, but nobody's nodded their heads and says it's functioning. And that's where we are right now. We are effectively using this service, and somebody at the senior level of IBM said, nope, you can't do it.
Well, that was
how we're doing it.
Yeah. That was Friday's call.
Oh, we can't do it. Yeah.
So Friday,
what are we using then now?
No. So let's back up to the point where before we found out that we weren't supposed to be doing what we're doing, but everybody's on the same page, I get on a call Friday.
Oh, this is the one you told me about.
Oh,
this is good.
My God. Yeah. So myself and our transformation manager get on this call at, you know, like 8:29. And somebody joins at 8:30.
I was on a different call.
Yeah.
And I'm getting texts from him.
I'm sitting here with a coworker who I've just messaged and said, yeah, let's join this call because we're going to get an update on where we are with the commercials and the training and this and that and this. And we're ready to go with our service desk. And all I hear is the mic is open in a room, sounding call where the guy goes, yeah, I got to get on this call, and I got some fucking bad news for these guys. They're going to blow their gas. He's swearing up a storm.
He doesn't know he's got a hot mic.
He doesn't know who's on the call.
We've been fucking these guys seven ways from Sunday for a long time. It's about to get worse. Yeah.
There's a beep. We get on the call. We're like, hey, this is Dion and Mark. We're on the call. And he's like, yeah, you know, sorry, guys. Yeah, I got to tell JVT we got this really bad news for them. And, you know, I'm in a shitty mood. And, you know, and we're like, hey, this is Dion and Mark from JWT. We're on the call. And he's like, oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Sorry about that.
Remember when we said Dion and Mark?
Yeah, we're so sorry. And then it was like right into the, so what's the bad news that you're swearing about?
Yeah, we might as well start with that.
Let's just jump into it.
Well, if you remember when I...
We had a softball opener.
I inadvertently launched the meeting agenda and said I was going to fuck you. We might as well start there. You're not going to have a service desk.
So, yeah. I mean, that's how my Friday morning started, and it was just like a downhill from there.
I love hot mics on a corporate call. Because you just, like, I feel everyone speaks in these, like, diplomatic, legalese way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And every now and again, you get a hot mic, and somebody's just like,
so
this guy's
I'm
gonna
give you,
fucking
I'm
going to
give you two pieces of how I felt that day. So the first point was, he dove into this, I don't know who you are twice mentality, which I thought was funny. Like, first somebody joined and was like, oh my God, yeah, I gotta tell JWT this bullshit. And then second, he dived in and was like, oh shit, you're JWT. And then he just was fine. Even after he delivered the bad news, and after I heard everybody give excuses for why things weren't gonna go live, everybody hangs up, and I'm on the call with this guy, and he basically says, he's like I started this call. I'm as upset as you. Obviously, this is crap. I'm so sorry we can't deliver this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I believe you because I heard your true side.
Yes, yes.
I heard your true angst and frustration with the whole process that we're feeling. And you know what? We're now comrades. Because
yeah, it's
kind
of refreshing, right? Yeah.
You were being honest. You shared an honest opinion. You want this done as much as I do. I now value your opinion, which I didn't think was shit to begin with. But now I'm like, you know what?
And frankly,
Thank you.
Sister organization that's supposed to be helping with all this stuff, they would go a long way to building bridges by just being that way.
Yeah,
right?
Honest.
Exactly.
And this is
to
painful.
Us in
and
an
we're
honest,
sorry, but we want it to be better. Yeah. And towards making it that
way.
But
what's pinned on them is they are tied to the decision of where we went and how we're going.
Yeah.
And that's why they can't
exactly
be that way all the time. So it makes good sense.
I mean, it started my Friday, and it got a little. It was fine, but
what was the call that we had, the global call where the guy didn't realize his mic was live?
That was great. That was one of the. I wasn't on that, but I remember you guys recapping
what
it. It was a PowerPoint presentation where he didn't have the slides scaled right, so nobody could. Read
it was
it.
It was a total joke of a call.
Yeah,
and
it
everybody
was an
knew
IBM
it was
dude.
A joke of a call.
Oh, and Jesus.
And the guy just goes off.
Within our company goes, oh, man, this guy's a shithead.
This is
slides.
A total fucking joke.
Yeah, this is
a fucking joke of a presentation. We shouldn't even be here. This guy can't even run fucking PowerPoint. And I'm going to say Indian because he's of that region, was like, I'm sorry, who's on the call? Because we're beginning now. And we're just like all like, and
well,
it was silence.
But,
and
but,
it was like,
but
oh,
there was but there was the
man.
Text thread.
Yeah, that's my favorite part
in the web
meeting. The corporate call is you just hear, you just see every participant.
You're live, you're live. Mute. You see mute, like 13
it's
people
so,
said mute.
It's so hilarious to just see like a switchboard lighting up, you know? Like...
That was exactly the what I thought of.
Oh, my
of.
God. Yeah. This fucking asshole doesn't know his PowerPoint. Don't show to anybody.
That's totally what I thought of when Dion shared this call from Friday. That was the experience that we had.
It was close. The good thing that came of it was we got to experience the fact that he actually gives a shit about his job and wants things to succeed.
And you
and
know they do. You know they
because we
you know
were
they,
like, you know what?
They all do.
They all
you
do.
Know? And, they,
the
and nobody
IBMers
likes
do.
Disappointing people.
No.
You know.
No.
I don't know. There's a few that.
Well,
I
at the
name,
upper level, you do,
but,
and that's why they got promoted because they enjoyed disappointing people.
Yeah. I mean, the people that get to fire 20,000 people don't care. But
it's
there's
funny.
Others that do.
Well, I had a nice moment today where we've had a lot of tickets that haven't gone anywhere with like network problems and so on over the last few weeks, and
I think we're up to 7 or 8 weeks now on a couple of them.
Yeah, and so anyways, we have an integration point that was a pain in the ass to set up. And what's funny is it's with I think we're allowed to say IBM. We've said that before. It's with IBM coming in into our company, and what was interesting it was IBM on our side working with IBM on their side. And it was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster setup. And it turns out that broke recently. And it was great to just say, well, you're going to have to. to tell IBM you have to open up a ticket with IBM. And good luck. You know, because I verified, oh, yeah, all the servers are still there. IBM can't reach them.
Just listening to you say, no, it was IBM on our side versus IBM on their side. It's all fucking IBM.
It is all IBM, but I think my impression, yeah, it is all IBM. I think sometimes.
But this is where we are in the relationship. Yeah. That, you know, and it's what, we're a year and a half in to a period of time where people have transitioned, mm-hmm. right? And a year and a half.
Yeah.
This is not a short period. This is 18 no. yeah. months worth of transition for these people. And they're still in that state of, yeah, but that's IBM. It's like, that's you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I actually think in some ways it's, I don't know how many details we can share here, but I think in some ways it's good that a lot of the retained network people that went to IBM left, or there was a certain level of attrition, and now it's
left, quote unquote.
Yeah, but it's pure IBM. But in some ways, I feel that's good because it's more homogenous now. And
agreed.
I feel they have to take remote IBM has to realize, like, you know.
I think that is, you are very, that's rational thought. That is brilliant rational thought.
Yeah. Will,
and it will happen.
Will happen.
But what's going to happen is. The cynic in me is coming out too strongly, but we're close, but not to the bottom of the barrel. This is my problem.
Yeah.
We're not even at the bottom yet.
Yeah.
We have to still go down a little further in our service delivery to the end users and to ourselves. We're effectively end users mm-hmm. of IBM now, right? And we have to hit further down in the basement before we're going to bounce back up. And we're going to bounce back up, and it's not going to be a bounce back to what we had or better, which was what was sold to us. It's going to bounce back to probably 30%. Maybe we'll get to 40% of the kind of level of expectation that we had.
Sure.
And we're starting to feel these calls from business people. We're starting to feel these calls the IBM to IBM thing, where people are just going, you know, it used to be really good.
Yeah.
They never would have said that two years ago.
Yeah.
But now we're getting those calls of, we used to have really good service, and now not so much.
Yeah.
What's going on? What can we do to improve upon this? Hey, guess what? It's going to get a little worse.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do.
And this is when... I've heard through the Twitter account, this is when everybody goes, Jesus, why do you do this to us? Just, I don't want to be depressed. Don't depress me further.
Gotta change the topic. Yeah, oh, I got you. Yeah.
So we're gonna maybe move on from transformation, unless you have any more good stories.
All I have with transformation in regards to the service desk is I was recently provisioned as a licensed service desk user, which meant I lost my pretty icon-based...
Interface. And you're back to regular old service now.
It's still there, I realize. And Dion helped me with that. But I went and tried to do a incident the techie way, and then there are certain required fields, and then there is assignment group, which is required, and there is nearly 1,000 assignment groups to pick from.
Yep.
And none of them seem to apply to the one I wanted to use.
You're not trained to do that, I think.
I can't leave it blank either. So there's not IBM generic or IBM UPIC. It's
that's good. So you open that ticket, and then I wanted to follow a ticket that you opened because I wanted to just be notified of updates on what's going on. And I went in, and I think I did 30% of the service desk's job, because in order for me to actually add myself to the ticket, I had to update several fields. And so I was picking, oh, well, this belongs here, and I'm going to say that group should do this.
God.
And Lord knows what's going
to
happen.
Everything needs to be assigned in order for you to do anything.
Yeah, get ready to approve something.
That's right. I just put it in your queue. Actually, I put it in John's queue, right? Yeah. Everything goes in the communications queue that John's responsible for.
In creating that ticket, I said, do not assign to global ops.
We
I mean, it is almost like a game of tag with like no tag backs or something like that, you know?
I don't know how to defend them or proceed down this path, but I will say, because they haven't been given the proper training, at least they're trying to find a JWT Resolver group at this point. They haven't been given documentation. Absolutely. They haven't gone through training. There isn't a proper knowledge base available to them. So they're seeing something that says JWT Global something, and they're saying, you know what? I know I can't do this. Let me put it there, because maybe JWT retained people will get this done for me. So they're trying the best they can with the knowledge they've been given. And the thing that bothers me, which I'm going to have to do in the next 48 hours, is provide them concrete workflows, training exercises, and realistic ticket experience that they'll record, document, and use for future opening of tickets where they say, oh, this is Hightail, or this is our global communications, or some other application, and I test them on how they're going to send these tickets through. And right now, they're doing the best they can with no information. I'm hoping by in the next 48 hours, and I plan to do this on Friday morning, a walkthrough of here's what you do when you get this request, and walk through these steps: search, find, deliver, dispatch. That's what I want to do. And I'm not saying IBM service desk people are doing a bad job. They just haven't been updated with the proper information to do what they need to do. Right. I understand a help desk of thousands, tens of thousands of people who are just going to get a call and have no idea. Start doing searches, they do queries, they look up, they do the best they can. Without the system supplying the information, they don't know what to do.
Back to what we were saying. I don't think anybody, certainly not anybody who's been in their job for a short period of time, nobody wants to do a bad job. They're trying to do their best. The problems come with the layers and the miscommunication and the management structures that are in place and the, politicizing of things and the biggest monetizing of things and the contracts that are in place and all of that bullshit gets in the way of people who are just going, look, I'm supposed to take something that falls in my queue and do something with it. That's my job.
The biggest example of this is in Germany right now. I would just say this. Germany is one of these remote markets who has been stranded.
Be careful. Be careful. That term remote market actually means something. They're not a remote market. They are an embraced, beautiful market. They are pure when it comes to this engagement.
But they do a mixture of in-scope and out-of-scope, remote and not remote. So therefore, they're screwed. But essentially, one IT person handled so many offices and did so many things in or out-of-scope. And he decided to leave for whatever reason. Who knows why he decided to leave? Why would you ever leave? Anyways, they have a huge problem with replacing what he did for all these offices, six offices. In this remote market, I will tell you it's in Germany, that somebody ended up calling me from IBM and saying, they need all of these permissions to do their job. And I had to tell them, I don't give them permissions to do their job. I give them permissions to do certain things in our directory.
I can't even approve myself.
For our company, I cannot say, I cannot give you permissions to do anything else, to administrate your users, to do all of these other systems, services, and applications that you're needing. Go to the...
Is that? Can I ask something real quick? Because I was out a lot of last week. Is that the guy who keeps sending the emails? Is this the office you're talking about? because there's this guy that keeps sending emails, and it sounds like John Connor in Terminator, where he's like, is anyone out there? I found like 30 people in this office, and I don't know.
Stefan?
I don't know who his name is, but the emails are hilarious.
His name is Stefan.
And everybody's
he's from Germany.
They're like, yeah, you need to approve your ticket.
He's begging for alive? Help. He's sending it to anybody.
He's so melodramatic, it's hilarious. It's really like he's in a bunker and he doesn't know if any other humans exist or anything like that.
Yes.
And
that's what it's come to.
I was out last week. My daughter had a little surgery, minor surgery. But yeah, and I come back, I just see this hilarious email chain from him.
I will. And here's the funniest
he
part
goes,
about
an office of 132 people. Nobody can do anything. Anybody out there?
So he sends that ticket in. It escalates to our team. Our team, who is newly staffed with Elisa. And Elisa is like, what do I do? Responds with, here's XYZ. Because she's very trained. She knows exactly what they can do. And he's basically like, this is not helping. We cannot do it. This is not it.
Again, we only have enough water.
Help!
For 2 days. It's just his emails. So I don't mean to laugh at the guy. I'm sure he's frustrated.
It is,
you know what I mean?
It sounds like dire consequences.
This sounds like
end.
Our core listeners, by the way. We need to find this guy and make sure he's listening.
Oh, his emails are hilarious. Like, I don't.
I can tell
again,
you.
I don't want to laugh at
name.
Somebody.
I can't.
I'm sure it's very stressful for him. But, you know, normally tickets that come to me, you know, I'm a developer. So if a ticket gets to me, it's like hyper focused. It's like, by the way, it looks like there's a bug.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if there's a certain number of maximum OUs under an office OU index, sometimes does this guy's just like, he's like, hi, can you save my life? Like, it's just like the bug, you know? And I'm like, how the fuck did this get sent to
so
me?
So guy who says, can you save my life meets 3 weeks into new job person doing support. And it's like, what am I supposed to do with this guy? And I'm like, meh. Don't worry about it. I'll respond. And she's just like, whoa, this guy's going to die here.
I should reply. I'm like,
yeah.
What's his name?
Stefan. His name's Stefan.
Oh, Stefan. My name's Sean. I've been here 11 years. I've never met my boss. I don't know if this company has a CEO. I come to work. There's abandoned papers.
There is no spoon.
I have a desk.
There is no spoon.
There is no network, Stefan. We are not really in the cloud. It's all a con.
The cloud is in fire. Yeah. Run.
Stefan, it's you and I, buddy.
Your post on IT Hub would have been the best ever if you had
That's
just fucking done
that. That's how I'm
going to
start replying to all these people.
If you had really just done the, listen, I'm a developer. I'm captive in this room. They won't let me do this shit. I don't even know what's going on. I can't help you, but do this. Like, don't tell anybody I've completely fucked up our directory. Like, that was the best.
And don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody.
It's between
on our
you
very
and I,
public
buddy.
Network. Yes. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, all
that's
right.
A lot of transformation.
That's a
right
lot
there.
Of transformation. What else? Oh, I heard a... this is a rumor that I heard that I hope is not true. Did iPhone really do, like, the typical Apple thing and say, oh, yeah, the next version's going to come out, doesn't have a headphone jack? Nope. No headphone jack. Is
they
that true?
Want...
I heard they just reversed that yesterday with Dion.
It's bullshit.
They said they
7.
Were going to do that.
Well, here's what I...
Or that were the rumors. You know, those were the rumors.
I think iPhone 7 will be some sort of USB-C port to everything. There won't be a headphone jack. There'll only be one interface to your phone that you charge, listen to music. You'll need to buy, like, 3 or 4 dongles, and that'll be the new iPhone 7.
Because you'll never actually want to charge your phone while you're listening to something.
No. They'll build a dongle for that. You'll have a dongle for that.
I did read an interesting article, Dan, and I'd love to hear your opinion because you would probably know more about this than me, but it was by this engineer where he said one of the reasons why they want it's like, so it would be very Apple to like change the port on every device.
Totally.
But he's saying, like, one of the reasons why, like, he's like, eventually we want, there's a problem. He said, like, nobody should eliminate it until there's a standard to replace it. But
USB-C.
He did say, one of the issues, though, is, well, but Apple doesn't support USB. They don't support
that.
They do.
USB-C is going to be on new Macs.
on an iPhone?
Well, that's the speculation. Yeah.
But he said one of the interesting reasons why phone manufacturers secretly want to kill it is, I guess, it's the biggest restriction in how thin a phone can be. Now, I personally don't want
the audio bit.
Yeah, the audio conversions that go on.
3.5 millimeter is a port that's pretty big,
So it's the biggest restriction in how thin they can be. I personally don't like phones getting any thinner, you know? I feel it's funny that they keep making phones thinner and thinner, and we just keep buying bigger and bigger cases because we drop them, you know?
That's why you want a thinner phone, so that your case doesn't feel so big anymore.
Well, yeah, that could be. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I'll try and find it. It was a really interesting article the technical limitations of the, I think it's 3.5 jack is what it's called.
Yep.
And how much hardware has to go around converting that signal into digital.
It's very analog.
So it's an analog signal that needs to be converted into digital. And there's like just physical limits to what they can do with
that. USB-C can basically be one port for everything you want to plug into it.
Mm-hmm.
You can plug HDMI, headphones, Ethernet, your computer, a camera, SD jack, like everything into one USB-C port.
Well, but you're just pushing the digital to analog conversion somewhere else.
But there won't be an analog conversion.
Yeah, because everybody's devices are all analog.
So there won't be an analog conversion unless
you...
They're
going to be in your earbud or somewhere, but it's got to go somewhere.
But if the new headphones are all digital and they plug into this port... You're going to eliminate the analog to digital need.
Digital analog.
Well, that was his argument that none of the peripheral manufacturers are going to be willing to go to this new standard until it's like a standard.
And most
of
them.
He's like, the only one who would do it would probably be Beats because Apple owns them. You know, like a lot of other.
And most of it's going to be Bluetooth anyway. Let's be realistic. Unless you're literally going to try to wire connection to something, you're going to be
Bluetooth. Is always a pain in the ass.
Well, does that take me to the next level of saying, all right, so are they going to, you know, not that they're great headphones, but when you buy one of these devices, remember, Apple's original thing here was an iPod, and it became a phone. And it was all music based,
mm-hmm.
and the software has gone crap.
Yeah.
And the Apple Music Store or whatever Apple Music like subscriptions
are
crap.
Yeah.
All crap. So this was their roots, and it's all like shit now, right?
But
so,
I mean,
so
I get,
when
get
you buy
rid,
the
get
phone,
get rid of the 3.5 jack. Who cares?
But are you going to when you get a phone now? Which you might argue that a phone. I need to be hands-free for my phone in my car.
In your car, it's Bluetooth. You have Bluetooth headphones.
And your headphones, too.
Everything's Bluetooth. You don't need to connect
it. I don't drive a brand fucking new car that has Bluetooth in my car. You don't either.
So?
So what are you doing?
Nothing.
Holding my phone and getting a ticket because I'm not allowed to.
You don't have USB
or getting
in
your
car,
wreck.
Though? You don't have USB in
none of the
I
above.
Do have USB interface in my car.
No,
I don't have
like
USB in my car.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So I have like a 2013 car.
I have a 2007 car.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's true, right? Yeah, there's nothing. You could get those. They have those. Do you have a tape deck where you can get that tape deck to?
They have
there
a
you
Bluetooth
go. I love
a converter.
It. Yes, I have a Bluetooth. I actually have an 8-track in my car.
No, but you remember remember those those tape
they
deck
sell
to
it.
CD converters?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah,
so they do is what they do now is they do a Bluetooth to an 88.2 megahertz FM channel.
There you
converter.
Go.
I have seen that too. Yeah.
And that's what ends up happening.
Which works great in the platted radio market.
It's ridiculous.
I'm sure that's brilliant.
It's stupid. It sounds horrible. But that's what they do. But here's what's going to end up happening, okay? 3.5 millimeter analog is dead. They're not going to use it. It's not going to be anything you do. If you want that, you're going to buy a USB-C to 3.5 millimeter conversion adapter. Apple's all about dongles. They want to sell dongles for $20 a piece to every fucking person, 20 million
dongles.
People.
You know what? I might be
they
an
love
Android
their
guy.
Fucking dongles.
I had no idea, but I might be an Android guy now.
Well, yeah. I mean, this isn't the first time. Let's go back to the Mac Cube. Now, granted, it was a short-lived device,
Dan,
but
nobody knows what Cube
it
means.
Didn't have
nobody
an
knows.
Audio output. It had a proprietary
Well, not true, because they had a firewire to optical audio out.
There was an adapter.
Craziest fucking adapter you've ever seen in your life.
And you didn't go to Best Buy to buy buy that. You went to Apple to
you
buy
it. You spent $120 bucks to get that, but I got
Well, and Apple's always been the first to drop like a technology. You know, they I remember working at a CompUSA in the 90s when and I mean, this sounds hilarious, but they dropped floppy before anyone else back when everything was still floppy, you know.
Yeah. And you know, I am torn on it because after a little bit, it like it's you don't care, right?
Yeah.
You don't care. Like
you realize you
when
don't
they dropped when they dropped the CD drive
DVD.
In the machine, the DVD drive in the machine, it was like, that's ridiculous. And now you don't use it.
I thought it was painful for, like, the first year. Like, a lot of times, like, on flights or something like that, where I wanted to watch something and, like, Wi-Fi wasn't there yet on all the planes, you know. But, like, now it obviously doesn't, you know, bother me at all. Like, I would never use it now.
Come on, guys. Everybody is plugging their phone into a tube amplifier dock so that they get the best audio experience.
Of course.
That's the way, that's the future, guys.
That's the future. The future is now. Did you ever see that parody? It was funny that Apple is so much about that, that often the parodies are believed, and The Onion once had this great video where the Apple dropped the keyboard because it wasn't aesthetically pleasing enough.
Yeah, and it was just a big wheel.
Yeah, and people thought it was, like people just believed it.
Yep.
Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, you've gone too far.
Yes, so there is some argument for the fact that they're dropping that, but you just said that they backed off that?
I saw a headline the other day where they said that the 7 will not have any major port changes, but...
Yeah, so every report basically is iPhone 7 will be dull. What dull means is up to the consumer to figure out, but it sounds like I still think they're going to drop 3.5 millimeter. I think it's going to happen. It'll be all about dongles. You'll be able to buy a dongle for $20 and you'll be able to do whatever you want to do.
But so as much as I was just complaining, if they don't drop it now and come up with some, you know, $20 dongle that I'm supposed to buy for the next version, I might be disappointed.
They're trying to tell you you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm super happy with my iPhone 6 Plus S3, 4, 5, whatever it is. Oh, yeah, it's great.
So that was, I was just curious about that because I cut you off.
Oh, so they released a photo of the iPhone 7.
It's garbage.
And, well, but it does have a 3-point, it does have a headphone jack.
That's
on
garbage.
It.
That picture's not real.
If you believe it, you know.
No. It's not real.
They released.
No.
Someone released.
Yeah.
It was leaked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not real.
I think we should address the Trump in the room.
Is there a Trump in the room?
There seems to be a Trump in the room. And Ross has not said anything in about 20 minutes.
Well, that's not the Trump in the room. The Trump in the room doesn't shut up.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Did you see my post that made no sense about the president of Chicago?
I didn't understand that at all.
Perfect. It's exactly what I wanted to have happen.
So, go on.
Explain yourself.
There was a picture of Donald Trump. I'll tell you what I saw. It said Chicago president or something like that.
Yep.
And it was Donald Trump in front of Wrigley Field.
Yes. It started with a... Seth Meyers does the late... show.
He does a show, late night TV show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he showed this image and did the whole skit about Trump and why it was happening. But if you back up a couple steps, everybody's abandoning Trump in some way or another. And the biggest post for the past 5 days was Trump would stop running for president if somebody just paid him $100 million, $500 million, $5 billion. Like, there was just these numbers, right? So he addressed it in one of his speeches. And he's like, listen, I'm not backing out of this. I want to be president. $1 million is not getting me out of this race. $300 million is not getting me out of this race. $5 billion. I got to talk about $5 billion, right? Right. Like, I'm not stupid, right? $5 billion to not be president sounds legitimate, right? And everybody's like, okay, you can be bought. It's just a matter of who's going to sell you how much. But he, in his own speech, said, $5 billion, we got to talk about this, right?
But I feel that's in keeping with his brand, that I'm a businessman.
Right? Absolutely.
You know, like, it'd be a bad business.
I mean, $5 billion, right?
I would love to see who's going to offer $5 billion for him to not be the president.
Thing he said since this campaign.
Yeah, probably.
Ross, way to step up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Seth.
So what was the Chicago president?
Right. So Seth Meyers basically says,
you can be bought, you're Chicago.
Listen, we will. NBC is offering you a 10 episode deal on NBC where you are the president and you get to do whatever you want. Nobody gets hurt. You could pretend and pass whatever legislature you want on a TV show,
like
on
the
NBC.
West Wing for Donald Trump.
On NBC, and we will pay you X million dollars to do this. But because everything on NBC is Chicago based, Chicago PD, Chicago Hope, Chicago Medical, Chicago Fire, Chicago whatever, you are now the Chicago president.
There we go.
And then he's like, oh, and by the way, NBC has not approved this. Nobody's approved this. I'm just saying it. But if you'd like to do this, let us know.
Yeah,
so
let's
I
talk.
Posted essentially this picture of Chicago president Donald Trump because he's going to settle for the, let's say, $20 million deal to do 20 episodes on NBC instead of The Apprentice. And it was a very funny Seth Meyers skit that I thought was
concept.
Like worth posting because he basically said, well, shit, yeah, for $5 billion, I may not run for president. I could be bought.
Well, that's $16 for every resident of the United States.
Yeah, we could pull that money together.
And
maybe.
That was the argument. That was completely
well
Seth Meyers'
I will drop a 20 to get him out of the presidency.
And that was Seth Meyers' whole skit, which is like every American in this country will give you this money to run. Therefore, NBC will just say, why don't you just do your
20
fucking
bucks
show?
To save the country? I'm in for 20 bucks. Sure. To save the country from itself?
Oh, my God. And Hillary's just like, really?
Really?
Yeah. She'd do it for half that.
Well, you know, she's like, you don't even, they're going to pay you anyways. Like,
just want to be president. She doesn't care.
You know?
She just wants to be, it's not about money for her. She just wants to be president. Like, I want to do president.
Might
I want to do this.
A little bit about money, too.
No, I don't think the Clintons need money.
Don't need money now because of their success. Yeah, I think their ambition has fueled so much success that they don't need money, but
I think Hillary has always wanted to be president.
I totally agree.
A very much House of Cards played it out perfectly with the way in which
they're not probably murdering people, but yeah.
I'm not going to say anything.
Bill Clinton murdering people.
I'm not saying anything, but I'm saying she wants
it
to
is
be president.
Interesting, that power couple that's a team and has been a team, maybe unbeknownst to everybody since day one.
That has been the shadow story for House of Cards for a long time. But anyways, so she becomes president. That's all she's ever wanted. She gets there. She does the right thing for the next 4 years. She doesn't get reelected. Whatever happens, happens. But that's where we are. So,
So what else is going on in technology? Can we?
Sure. What else?
Or
we
is there?
So Microsoft. Microsoft wanted to invest in a marijuana.
Oh.
Well, I thought you were going to say LinkedIn. They got other purchases. Yeah.
No. Yeah. So
you saw this,
week,
right?
But I mean, Microsoft
had
a big week.
I saw the headline. Yeah,
Microsoft
had
a big week.
Article.
They're buying LinkedIn. They're also investing in medical marijuana fields. So in
within
one
the state of Washington, or just generally,
it's it's like an investment. It's a company that helps fund, not fund. It helps these marijuana-based businesses with legislation and all the things that they need to understand.
Gotcha.
about rolling out their business.
I think
so. You have a business, and you want to make this a nationwide business. Mm-hmm. They're there to go, okay, well, in Colorado, this is what you have to do, and in Washington, sure, that's what you have to do, and blah, 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 blah. That's my understanding.
So I want to steal a couple jokes from The Tonight Show because I think they're hilarious. Last night, I watched this. I heard about the story.
Well, stealing jokes is what we're all about.
I Googled it. I did a bunch of, and I'm like, basically, I posted the Bing becomes Bong.
Bing Bong was good. I like that.
I thought that was hilarious, right? I'm stealing this from Tonight Show. The other joke that they made, which I thought was hilarious, was Word becomes Weed, Excel becomes Exhale, and PowerPoint becomes PowerJoint.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm like, those are great, funny, historical jokes. They're, yeah, sure. Xbox 360 becomes Xbox 420.
If only ShareJoint was, sure, you know, a better,
sure,
option.
Yeah. I sure, think ShareJoint. But I mean, that was the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show line of jokes.
Well, I think
and
that
I was like, I can't even believe they're in this market. Like, that's
why I think that's inevitable. I think one of the things that's very interesting about the legalization of marijuana is that I think it's a little bit like pizza in the 1970s, where it was a bunch of small, you know, mom and pop places, you know, Italian immigrants. And then, like, in the 80s, big corporations were like, whoa, holy shit, Americans like this. And then it just became commercialized.
Right.
Like, right now, you know, marijuana dispensaries, they're all, you know, very local and everything. And
yep,
inevitably, big business is going to take it over, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But a lot of companies, I think, are resistant to, like, you know, the political ramifications.
Absolutely.
Of getting involved. So I think it could pay off huge if you get in early, because it inevitably everything gets bought up by big business.
And right? Their investment is, I think, you know, it's one step away, right? It's an organization that's,
yeah, exactly,
helping. It's not direct.
So, yeah, they're less exposed politically.
Yep. Yep.
You know, yeah.
Catch that Pepsi spirit. Toke it in, toke it in, toke it in.
Toke. Yeah, I sometimes wonder if it's like the ancillary businesses that would benefit from legal pot that would take it over, like just Papa John's would just like,
oh, there you
take
go.
Take over, yeah, like all, you know,
Taco
like,
Bell,
yeah, Taco
and,
Bell,
yeah, yeah,
like all, yeah, the, you know, all those kind of places.
That we, yeah, I like, yeah, it. It's good thought. Well, that reminded me of the, so Uber, apparently, I don't know if you guys saw this article, but Uber has, they continue to get funding. They continue,
mm-hmm, yeah, they always
to get, yeah, new venture capital. Their funding is through the roof. They've got billions, like $26 billion, yeah, or something in venture capital. They don't need it.
Yeah.
They don't need the funding. And the question of this article was, why? What are you trying to do? You don't need the cash. Why are you still out there doing this? And apparently they were trying to get some funding out of Apple, and Apple ended up going with, it's these companies. What made me think of it was Microsoft has cash, mm-hmm, and Microsoft went and helped this, you know, marijuana,
yeah,
business. Apple has a bunch of cash. Apple is looking at these other line extensions, and what they're doing is funding companies, the Chinese-based rideshare, mm-hmm, uh-huh, company, Uber, yeah, competitor, basically. And what it turns out is Uber's just, they're in a competition for VC. They're not in a competition
anymore.
They just
don't want their rivals to get
They don't want their rivals,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
get the money.
Yeah.
They're trying to bleed the market of,
yeah, yeah,
cash for that kind,
yeah,
of business so that they effectively starve
Are
the competition.
Are they public, though?
Uber, no.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, yeah, the problem with that would be is if you ever went public, like, you would think,
well,
your investors are going to be like, what the hell are you doing with this money? You know?
And that's part, yeah, of the reason that I think, what's his name, who runs Uber, is,
yeah,
is doing all of this,
yeah,
and he's stretching out the public thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going public until I absolutely positively can't stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But what the hell is our whole VC world? You talk about a stock bubble, a tech bubble, and all,
yeah,
this stuff that we went through, what, a decade ago?
Uh-huh.
Right? A little more than a decade ago?
A little more, yeah.
We got to be there again. We're going to watch this thing go boom again.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, definitely with the apps.
It's going to be it's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad again. And Uber, to me, is kind of the classic example of it because they're going out getting money because they don't want others to get it.
Yeah.
We're to that point.
Yeah. And people are saying, I will gladly
give
it to you.
Yes. it's so
funny,
broken.
You know, like, a lot of people are always commenting about like how accurate the show Silicon Valley is to like the real world thing. And did you hear the story about that CEO of Uber? About like when he couldn't get into Hamilton,
no,
the Broadway show,
no,
yeah.
So I guess he, you know, it's like the hardest show to get into, and he ended up buying counterfeit tickets off StubHub. You know,
awesome.
He got scammed. You know,
yeah, he didn't know.
That's brilliant.
But I guess he made a huge scene. He's like, "You're all gonna be fired." You know, he's like, "Do you know who I am?" And they're like, "No." I mean, like, who the fuck knows the CEO of Uber?
Some asshole who wants to see this fucking show.
No, we have no idea who you are. He's like, "I created Uber." Like, what do you mean? Like, you
then call an Uber
software? Like, what do you? Yeah,
and get out.
Yeah, exactly. But it was interesting. And then I guess he went on a Twitter rant and he deleted them all, but, you know, he was tagging the guy who wrote Hamilton to get him in, you know, like this guy's backstage getting ready for a show. What's that guy's name? Like, I always forget his name, but he's a Puerto Rican guy. Amazingly talented.
Yes.
But, yeah, I just love getting tagged, like, hey, I can't get in.
He was texting the guy?
Was tagging Twittering. Him on Twitter that he can't get in.
Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Yes, that's him. That I need to get in. Like, he's going to, in full costume, go, guys, hold the show for 10 minutes.
Hold the show.
I got
Lin,
CEO
Lin,
of Uber.
Lin, I can't get in.
A guy who claims to be, because you don't, nobody knows.
No.
Like, I work in IT and I don't know the guy's name. I've heard it once or twice,
sure.
You know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's very funny. Well, sort of sticking on the stock theme,
Travis,
I think one of you
Kalanick.
Guys.
Is that his name?
That's
okay.
The guy.
That's the Uber dude.
I don't know if you guys, one of you guys posted this, but there's a dude who's basically starting his own stock exchange. Did you see this?
I think I read this article.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
So it's IEX is the company. And what they did, and I saw this months ago that he was trying to do this, but basically anybody who trades on the stock exchange in our country, probably out of our country, they make their trades and they do it through a certain broker. And the broker puts that trade in and you look at it and you go, oh, well, I want to make a trade at this price. $20 a share. That's perfect for me. $20 a share. And what people do is they go, oh, there's a lot of trading going on. A lot of people are buying at this number. And they, through technological ways, see those trades coming in and go, ah, I'm going to buy faster than them because they have ways in. They buy faster than them at a lower rate. At $19.50, and they buy so many shares that it gets up to that $20 number, and the people who are buying at 20 are caught in that mix, and there's some way that like pennies are missed, pennies are dropped, and those pennies fall to this company, but they're doing such high volumes of trades that those pennies become real money.
Is this like Superman 3?
It's very much like Superman. I don't know. I didn't see Superman 3. So, but what this company did, what this guy did, is they came up with a way they put it through this black box, effectively. It's a technological solution that slows everything down.
350 milliseconds. They
slow everything down just enough that the people that are trying to like scam and get in ahead of time are not able to do it because everything slows down to the right pace.
My reading of, and I think they only divulged so much of their solution, but my reading of how he explained it was, And it's all like it's a response. There's supposed to be this amazing book. Is it called Flash Boys?
Yes,
or something
yes,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which
that's
is
right.
The guy who wrote
It's the microsecond.
The Michael Lewis is the author's name. He wrote like Liar's Poker. Yeah. He wrote like the book on the big bust, the housing market bust. And but my this is how I was told. And my friend who you guys met, who was a trader, was talking about this too. He's saying like Chicago, it's like it's very difficult. So what ends up happening is the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ essentially have these relationships with the big banks and the big brokers where they allow them to have closer network access than anyone else. So you have an it's almost like ticket scalping. Like you'll never get a real ticket because all these bots buy it up.
Sure.
Like when it hits $20, even though there might be 10 million orders for $20 the worldwide, these guys that are closer, the Flash Boys, are going to eat it all up before anyone else can.
Right.
So they invented this black box that basically, the way I read it is when everything comes in, it sort of puts a delay into it so that you have like just as much of a chance as the Flash Boys of buying that share at that price.
Yes.
That their network advantages are neutralized.
And what they did was they sold that to certain places to sort of say, look, we're going to circumvent all of these other trades. Now, and their end game was we want the exchanges to use this so that everybody gets equalized. And when none of that was happening, they said, well, hey, we're going to apply. We'll be an exchange.
Yeah.
You guys won't do it because you have these agreements and all this back, room stuff going on with no problem. We'll apply to be an exchange. And it escalated so quickly. They were like, this takes forever. Who cares? Well, enough attention is on it that they grease the skids and it's now becoming an exchange faster than it would have in any other time in history.
It's a fascinating story because the companies love it. If you're selling stock, you want it to be distributed fairly and you don't want all these brokers to have all this power.
Right.
But the brokers hated it. The ones that had the relationships, the Flash Boys, hated it. But
the
exchanges had relationships with them, and it's a fascinating story to me.
But the microsecond technology that the bankers built into trading that has been defeated by like IEX and all these other upcoming technologies is where it's at right now. Because if you're not in the game or fighting the game, you're out of the game.
Right.
And that's what stocks have turned into. Because if you can't basically millisecond trade stock, you need to be in a fair trade stock exchange, which reinvents you're talking about.
Gordon Gekko.
Right. But I mean, if you're not millisecond trading like pennies on the dollar per millisecond to make $1 million a day, then you're not exploiting the market. If it's all level and you're using a fair exchange like IEX or one of these other things, then it's a fair trade. We slow everything down. Everybody's on the same playing field and we're good. But this was on 60 Minutes like 3 years ago. People can buy computer processing that's faster than you.
Right.
And trade on the millisecond of dollar pennies for billions and make more money than you because they have faster connection to the internet, faster connection to the market, and buy and sell before anybody even knows what's happening.
Back like 3 years ago when all this was starting to be exposed, Chicago exchanges and brokers were buying old train lines and laying their own fiber networks to New York.
Yeah.
To improve their performance to the exchanges.
Yeah, it was at that level. Physical distance. Yeah, and they talk about that in Flash Boys.
Yeah.
That like one of the most expensive real estate offices in New York was just some random bullshit building
because it was close
it was physically closest. Like wherever the exchange routers were.
Yep.
And it saved them one third of a nanosecond or whatever. And
well,
that was
the company that built in the pause before you buy, even out the market. It's not based on technology. Was the one which I think we're all talking about.
IEX.
That's
the company.
IEX. So.
And they're going to become an exchange. They're going to be their own thing.
They should be their own exchange because they're leveling the market.
Are there any major companies that have signed up with them?
Yeah, like quite a lot. Merrill Lynch.
Oh, Merrill. I don't know if it's Merrill.
Huge banks was like, oh, we love this.
Big banks
yeah.
bought into their technology before they became an exchange.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, so, I mean, is there an index that tracks the IEX so that...
I think there is, and it's weird. It seems to be already in, like, version one, like, bigger than NASDAQ was, you know, and it's, like, version 10. Because, like, a lot of big companies are like, well, we're kind of tired of this bullshit, so we'll be in there, and we'll also be in
So they're cross-linked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think they would move exclusively to it, you know. There's probably some companies that are exclusively in it, but...
Hey, Ross.
Don't.
How you doing?
I was...
Sure?
Are you working?
Barclays and Credit Suisse.
No, I mean, we...
Oh, Barclays is huge.
Barclays
is probably an enemy of them.
No, I'm sorry. Barclays was bad.
Yeah, Barclays would probably be an enemy of them, yeah.
Yeah. Ross, how you feel about all this stuff?
You managed... Five subjects that I have nothing to say.
Zero?
That's totally fine.
Zero. So I'm gonna offer.
Can I leave and then I'll let you guys talk about Game of Thrones? Because I want to leave right now. I don't even want to hear Game of Thrones.
Do we have any vendor scum in John's ass?
I just want to leave.
We do not.
And let you talk about your
Dion. Just leave. Just stop saying you want to leave.
Your whole
fucking leave.
Game of Thrones.
No,
30
that's, wait, he's
minutes.
Not the guy who does Game of Thrones, isn't
no,
that Gavin?
No, I agree. Yeah. But they are dying to talk about it.
It's Gavin. Steve what I was going to drop
Ross.
Was
Dan. Want to talk about Game of Thrones?
Yeah. Dion, what I was going to drop
do
was
it.
Have even Putin. Is backing away from Trump. Did you
see
this?
We don't have time for Trump. We don't have 30 minutes for Trump right now.
That is pretty good.
Oh,
my
God.
30 minutes, Dion. We need
First of all, I love that you're running for the American presidency and you're bragging about how a ruthless dictator likes
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
as though that's a
Putin
selling point.
Putin has said, which leads me to my Seth Meyers steal of the Chicago president, everybody's backing away from Trump so fast, including Putin, that nobody wants him to be president, so NBC should just offer him a TV show for 10 episodes
we
where he gets
that.
To pretend to be the president.
Deja vu?
Here
we go.
Chicago. But...
I just love that Putin's like, I didn't really say that.
You know, he's colorful.
I think Putin
he's bright.
Sort of fucking with Obama and everyone.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think Putin's even like, I don't even know if I want this guy. You know, I mean, like, at the end of the day, we have nukes. And,
we have nukes, you have
you
nukes.
You know, it's a delicate world.
Yeah.
He's like, I just didn't think he'd go this far, you know. Like, and Putin's like, holy shit, you know.
Like,
stop asking me about
yeah,
Trump.
I love perfect. That you have run such a weird campaign that it is a PR problem that Putin walked away from you a little bit. And you're like,
right.
Oh, by the way, our biggest enemy, you know, it's such that we have one that isn't a terrorist, like our most, the head of state that hates us most, it seems, doesn't like you, and we need to deal with this. This is a crisis. Like,
and that's the epitome of every Republican senator, congressional person who's backing away from Trump, who, like, Putin is the epitome of everybody saying, you know, we're really, really behind
Trump's
him.
Quote on Bill O'Reilly, talking about Putin's praise. He called me a genius.
Yep.
He has said Trump's a genius, okay? So, you know, that's nice.
But
that's another
and Putin says, I called him colorful and bright. You interpret that how you want. I called him colorful and he's bright.
I did
Trump
not really
said,
say that.
Guess what? Putin called me a fucking genius, okay? Putin called me a fucking genius. No, he called you colorful and bright. That's not the same as genius, you asshole.
I think Trump just stated Putin's afraid of him because
yeah.
he's
crazier than me.
That's how Trump should respond. Putin, you're fucking afraid of me because I will talk to you and I will steal your fucking nukes.
You know, There was this thing that came out recently about how, like, George Bush Sr. left, like, a nice note for Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody does that, right?
You hear about that, that the presidents, regardless of their party, tend to really support each other and have a lot of respect.
Here's my office. Here's the house. Please make
I would love to see what...
Yeah.
If Trump won, the letter he would write. Like, first of all, you're a fucking loser. Because you probably beat him in an election.
That's right.
Like
that's
that,
right.
You know, like... He just seems, like, so ungracious.
So, I agree, but as gracious as I might think President Obama would be, what kind of letter would he write?
For Trump? Oh, yeah.
Stay away from
listen, I would sleep on declaring war. Yeah. <You know? laughs> Like, maybe he's, like, a child taking it over, like, and he's just, like, in the interest of America, he's giving them very diplomatic, you know, like...
Here's
I wouldn't just call a head of state a loser.
Please take your Xanax before breakfast. Eat your Cheerios.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a balanced breakfast and don't blow anybody up before noon. Okay?
I know you're gonna wanna just like put your daughter in charge of a major cabinet position, but you know, like bear in mind that there's people that have been doing this for a lifetime.
You know, Miss Universe might not be the best cabinet position. Just FYI.
Yeah. It's
okay.
Just, like 101.
Ay.
Oh shit.
So we probably need to, you know, get Dion out of the
wrap it up.
Building because we've made him late. So thank you all for listening. We have been the Worldwide IT Guys. Thanks, Ross.
Ross.
For sitting in.
Oh,
I'm
my
sorry
God.
We talked about all these terrible,
so
terrible
amazing.
Topics.
Amazing. Ross, your first podcast. So good.
It was pretty good.
So good.
I'm just sad it wasn't
42.
Oh,
42? That's next week. You can't. Was that your ploy to get into 42? No, it's not going
to
happen.
You said 41. I was kind of hoping it was going to be 42. I was so close to
So, Worldwide IT Guys on Twitter, www.itguys.com. Check us out. Those of you that are waiting for T-shirts, they're there. They should be. If they're not, too bad. Send your money.
Open a ticket.
What?
Open a
ticket.
If ticket. Not there.
Yes, open a ticket for your T-shirt.
Assignment group. I want my T-shirt.
T-shirt
now.
Resolver.
Those of you that haven't ordered, I'm talking to you, Australia. Let me know. We'll talk to you soon.
Leo.
Thanks. Bye.
Take care.
Thanks, guys. Good.
Yeah, that was a good one. I thought.
You know, Ross, say five words next time.
Ross was fine.
Ross was fine.